Amen. Let's give God a hand of... I'm still on my drug. J-E-S-U-S. I feel dosed. I don't know. When I look at that still, what God did there. But I've asked two guys just to prepare a testimony for us of what they experienced last weekend. Peter Allen, I'm just going to ask you, you're the closest to me. So, yeah, that's fine. We've got enough time. I'll just preach shorter. That's fine. It's more important that you share.
Hi, church. Mine is not just the men's camp. It's quite a lot of things that came together. I just want to say, before I went to the men's camp, I didn't want to go. My name wasn't up. Every guy asks you, so I see you at the men's camp, and I'm not going to be there. Sorry. Now, I was a cell leader also, so it was for me. Everyone in our cell was going. Maybe one guy wasn't, but he eventually came with. But I didn't want to go. My heart wasn't... I didn't have a good reason even not to go. I checked like 2 weeks before the time, I had a dream. And I told Yaku about it, but I woke up, or I was in the dream, I had a massive fight with Yaku. And I didn't know what about, but we were shouting at each other. I woke up and this dream quite disturbed me. So we were away overseas for a while, and when we came back, I missed church once, and then I came to church again. And I'm so blessed, because that time when I came to church, the sermon was about making the ordinary things, making the supernatural things ordinary things. And this sermon was so, I can count on my hand a few sermons in my life that really, really touched me, because that was exactly where I was standing. I was rebellious towards God, which I didn't know at the time, or I was hiding it. Most of you already know that, or maybe not, but this December went through a very, very difficult time, our family. Emotions. Can't get to the point. What happened is just, before that, I've been serving God for 7 years now, did all the foundations, did all the things, all the courses, everything. I debated with atheists and all this stuff, and I was just so special, knowing so much, and I just lost my heart for the love of God. And in that sermon, then my mother got sick in 6 weeks. We found out, she just got sick in six, on the time when me and my wife were getting married. It was very difficult, because obviously it's supposed to be the happiest time of your life, and to try and stay happy for your family, and then for my mother who's sick, so difficult. So our family came together and we decided... So foolish, actually, but we decided that no, my mother will live. We're standing in faith with this thing, and that's just the way it is. We're going to pray, and God's going to heal her. So we went and prayed and stayed over my mother and had friends over praying, but never really connecting with the heart of God in this. Never really asking God what's this all about. And we got married, and I got word that, because that time I asked the doctor, the day after I got married, we just come out of the honeymoon suite, the doctor called us and said we must come in, and he said, listen, my mother's got about 10 days to live still. And there was such, because I am such a high and you're such a low, and I was like, you see, doc, we're going on our honeymoon in 2 days, and she said, no, if I were you, I wouldn't go. So I said to my wife, sorry, we can't go on this honeymoon anymore. And then it was a big struggle. 2 days went in like that, and I got word by someone that he feels that God woke him up at night and says that God really says, I must go on this honeymoon. That's his words. You must go on this honeymoon. And immediately I jumped into all my calculations and say, yeah, how can I say I trust God if I don't go on this honeymoon? You know, I'm coming back, rushed in there by everyone, everything's planned again, rushed in by my mom's. Bye, mom, see you when I'm back. Got on a plane, flew over to the Maldives Islands. The 25th, we had, or 24th, we had Christmas. The 25th, my brother phoned me and said my mother passed away. And at that time, I was very confused. Because the foundations tell me if I, or this is what I understood, is if I pray, then the cancer's gone. And this is what I understood of God, is when we come together and we say this will happen, then this will happen. Not understanding really what was going on, but so awesome. God, then my brother phoned me, said to me, listen, because my big concern was my mother's salvation. It wasn't so much if she lives, said, or dies. It was that she may know God before she goes. And my brother told me that he was outside praying, and he was saying, yes, Lord, you know, please come, please help here. And he was telling me this. He said to me that, he actually said to my wife that she must tell me, because I didn't want to talk to anyone. He said that when he was praying outside, he heard God, Jesus, tell him, go and say goodbye to your mother because I'm coming to fetch her. And he prayed and said, no, God, no. My mother was 51 or 52. She was healthy. She wanted to start a business here. She was in the prime of her life. And he said to God, no, you know. And Jesus said again, go and say goodbye to your mother because I'm coming to fetch her now. He walked into the hospital. He told everyone to leave the room. He prayed over my mother. He said, don't worry, Jesus is coming to fetch you. And thank you for such an awesome mother that you were. You know, and then he stood up, and when he stood up, he went down again, he prayed, and he said, don't worry, don't be scared, Jesus is coming to fetch you. And he stood up and he walked out. The next person who walked in, my mother was gone. And it was such a comfort for me. Now, you know, my mother could have went and I could have sat with that question. I could have really sat with that question in my heart and struggled with it. And outside, you know, you want to stand strong for your family and stuff, but inside I had these questions, really, to a point where it was like, where is this God? You know, who is this? Is it all true? Is it all a lie? Is this emotionals? Is this emotional sweep up of what are we busy with here? And this stuff was going in my heart, and I was always, you know, I'm a cell leader. I can't go and sit there by the cell and, you know, I just didn't feel... how do I say this? I'm struggling to hold my belief in God, that there is a God. And I've served God. I've seen Him do great miracles and great things already. But it's so difficult when someone tells you, you know, they went through this thing. And I know a lot of people say, yeah, but God did this, so I don't believe in that anymore. But it's a difficult question if you're sitting in that season to struggle with these questions. And when I was sitting here, when Yaku spoke, I just, because I was turning my heart, or my heart was turned away from God. And I just want to say this, no one just wakes up one morning and says there is no God. It's a slow, slow process of backsliding. Slow, slow process of backsliding. It happens very slow, and it happens in your heart. No one knows about it until later on. Things that I never did, you know, or finished off with, I started swearing a lot again. All these things, sins coming back into my life. And everything was all right on the surface, you know. And when I was sitting here, I just heard Yaku talk about the things that we made so ordinary. And I was just convicted, terribly convicted about it. And he said about the man's camp, and he was really hammering about the man's camp and the man's camp. And I was thinking, what is actually my reason why I'm not going to this man's camp? You know, I have enough leave days, actually. I just decided not to go. And I said, okay, I'm going to go on this man's camp. So when I came to the camp, we were just sitting there, and I was listening the first day they had this farmer guy, I can't remember his name, Chris or something, but Christoph. He was a farmer and he just stood there and he was just talking testimony after testimony after testimony of the goodness of God. But these testimonies were supernatural things. Like Holy Spirit stuff. Just the one that they had 32 containers of potatoes that they exported out to, I think, Germany or Norway or wherever. And when it was there, they found a chemical in the potato that was not allowed in the country. So they phoned him and said, they're going to dump all 32 containers now. And he obviously went into because 32 containers, we're talking millions of rands here. So he called the people and they started praying and he phoned the guy back and he said to him, listen, please just check those potatoes again. Just please, I beg you. And the guy phones and they said they did 3 tests on those potatoes and the chemical is gone. And I was just thinking, yes, you know, when last did I have something like that in my life? And that's actually, I'm going to tell a testimony, but I want you guys, why are we here? Why are you sitting right there where you're sitting? Why am I standing here? Do we think of everything that we do with purpose? Why are we singing these songs? We sing, God, you above all. Do we believe these things? You know, I was just asking myself, when last did we take God as word? Do we make space for the Holy Spirit? When last did we make space for the Holy Spirit, a miracle to happen? Do you have a small business? God says you must expand the business, but you're too scared to from your side, make take that risk. You know what touched me so much on this when CS came up, he said one of the heavy testimonies, he was sitting in Egypt just like a year before that big persecution came of the Christians. And there was an old man there, and the old man, they were sitting around the table, and the old man said to him a few things, and one of the things that he said is that, pray for this church of Egypt to embrace the spirit of martyrism. There is no good news here now. People are going to kill us. God is not going to come and pull us out of this. God, pray that God keeps us in this, keeps us strong in it. And that was for me just a mind-shaking thing. You know, when we come to God, then all this happened now in my heart. I thought, yes, when I come to Jesus, you know, why are we sitting here because we want something from God, or we're sitting here because we want to give something to God? So many of us complain how the church is always asking us to come and serve. What else is there to do? We call to serve God. I'm talking to myself now, people. This stuff went into my heart and I was just so convicted about this. You know, further the testimonies, I just realized that I wasn't even on God's side. I was actually opposed to God. So, one thing that CS also said there, he said so many things, and different things might mean different things to different people, but on my season where I'm in now, everything was just from God. He said, if you have lost your love for the word of God, you are backslidden. It's a sign that you are backslidden. How many times do I go down on my knees and I pray and what did I pray for? Do we pray with purpose? That we can call things from heaven to happen down on earth. That is the authority. After everything CS came to me, he took my hand, I thought, he's going to say something now. He said a few personal things and then I said to him, I don't know how I'm going to do it. He said to me, it's not in your fanciness. It's in the authority of Jesus Christ. How cool is that? Because we just sang there that when I stand before you, God, may it only be your righteousness on me. So we don't stand there boasting about, I didn't do this and this and this in my life. Those things are meaningless to God. And I'm speaking to myself, people. I have to come back to God. I repented. I went on my knees. And then I all of a sudden got the hunger to wake up in the morning and read the Bible. That's a miracle in itself. We have to repent and come back to God. I'm not the only one. I know it. We read the word and we're not in it. Do we really believe what we're in? Is this a game? It's not a game. our time will also come, our spiritual martyr, or that spirit, or that time where we get persecuted. Are we ready for that? And the other thing was there, he said that the sin is actually just a sin. Listen very clearly. Sin is actually when you just miss the mark that God has for your life. It's you miss the target. So you can be, that was very challenging for me, because you can be busy with the greatest stuff. You have 50 kitchen teas in the location, and you can still come before God and he's going to ask you, that wasn't my plan for you. My plan was you would just tell that one guy on the street that I love you. Think about it. How do we know that? Because we need the Holy Spirit to show us these things. That is the awesomest thing about Christianity. That's the awesomest thing that I just realized. It's not about reading the word and about coming to prayer session and stuff. It's about walking. This next step is Holy Spirit step. This one is a Holy Spirit step. A step in the Holy Spirit's direction. That is what this is all about. And we don't have that unless we connect our hearts to God. Everywhere, I'm reading Hosea. What a coincidence. The first book I opened up to read after I came back from the country is Hosea. It talks about God telling his people that, or God telling the prophet to marry a prostitute. And this prostitute keeps on coming, and then she goes, and then she comes, and then she goes. And God says, that's how my people are. We come to God and then we go. We come to God and we go. And God gets angry. Because God is a righteous God. But in the end, that last book, I just read it this morning, says God will forgive. God will call his people back. And this is why I'm standing here. Because God had mercy on me. It's that right at the end, it was so awesome that it didn't happen in the beginning, but right in the end of the whole thing, there was a man. Because I was just struggling with this whole question of my mother in my heart and stuff towards God. And there was a man that stood up and he's way in his 50s, 60s probably. He was married for 30 years. His wife passed away 6 weeks ago. 7 now probably. But that guy stood there, tall. He didn't have a tear in his eye. He was solid. And I just looked at that guy and I said, wow, you know, God, why can't I have that? The guy misses his wife and he's hurt. But that scripture just came out, build your house on the rock. If you build your house on the rock, the wind will come and the storms will come, but your house will stand. Yes, and I just felt it in my heart. And all this, God was ministering my questions. And just afterward, that was just for me confirmation, because God didn't have to say that. He didn't give that man to come testify in the beginning because my heart wasn't right. I had to go on my knees and I told God, God, I don't know how am I ever going to trust you again. Honestly. And I stood up and I went, and that's it. Saturday I went back to the thing and I went and I said, God, I don't know how I'm ever going to trust you again, but I want to. And there God started ministering when I opened up, be honest with God. And I just, that's it. I just want to say we have to make space for the Holy Spirit in our lives. Everything great that happened in the Bible that I read already was supernatural, out of the ordinary. What we will call today is weird or just wow. Even all those testimonies, they're supernatural things. We have to make space. If you're trusting people to come to your cell group, then dish the table for the cell group. Make the table bigger for the people. Understand? Trust God. Trust Him. This morning I was praying and I just felt God, because that's the awesomest thing. A few years ago, God, that's how God used to talk to me. And I'm right back there now. God is talking to me again. Just a bold thing. Like Sia says, when I stand here, the kingdom of God is here. Everyone, the kingdom of God is here. Because the kingdom of God lives in Him and it lives in me. And it lives in you. So the kingdom of God is here. So I just want to show you guys this. This is just a perfectly round wooden ball. It's made of pine wood. And I'm so proud of this ball because I did it on a dry bunk, the first project. And Tasha was laughing when I said I'm going to bring this ball. But this morning when I was praying, the ball wasn't close to me. And God just reminded me of something. He said, when you look at this thing, it looks perfect. But I, who made this ball, know it's imperfect. I know exactly where and how I had to make it so it still looks a bit round, but I know it's not round. It just looks round. And God said, this is how I see my people. That's how I just felt God. Look here, there is no piece of wood in the world that has these lines on it. It's unique. And when we talk about uniqueness, we normally think of the outside. You built like this and you made like this and that. I don't believe that's God's idea of uniqueness. Uniqueness is the spirit. Every single person here, everyone, has a unique spirit that has a unique purpose on this world. And you have a unique relationship, an open door towards God to have unique relationship with Him. Don't miss it. Please, I'm praying that we come back to that place of just having relationship, open heart. God says, that one scripture in Hosea says, I want your heart, no sacrifices. I want your heart. All right. Thank you.
DJ, I just want to pray for you. Father, I just want to thank you for Peter Allen this morning, Lord. I thank you for his boldness, Lord, just to share. And Father, I can just see the calling upon his life so massively, Lord. And Father, we pray, Lord, that your voice will never depart from him, Lord, to wherever he goes, Lord, that he will always experience that unction, that urgency in his life, Lord, an urgency to share, an urgency to move out there. And Father, I pray, Lord, that as with Jeremiah, Lord, that, Lord, your word says there that I was weary of holding his word back, but I could not. It was burning. It was shut up in my bones, burning like fire. And Father, then the word says, I just continue to speak that. And I pray this morning over him, Lord, prophetically, Lord, that his word, your word will be in him, Lord, shut up like a fire, weary, that will weary him down, Lord, till he speaks it, till he proclaims that, till he declares that, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, in that, Lord, he will experience a freedom in Christ. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. 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 You want to share? Forget about the sermon. Forget about that. God does other things, so just forget about that now. It's more important that we testify and hear what they say.
Morning, everyone. Yeah, when he was sharing, I was really worried that I'm going to share the wrong thing, but then it started to make sense. My father passed away a couple of years ago. And so what I just want to share is what God did in my life at this camp. And it's got something to do with healing. And so, you know, my dad was also not healed. His mother wasn't healed. But I still feel I must share that I'm sharing the right thing. It's a short thing. The Friday night, I couldn't sleep 1 minute. I had a stomach cramp, something here. And it wasn't too terrible, but I just couldn't sleep for 1 minute that whole evening. So now I'm waking up and the first thing I'm thinking of, who are the doctors on this camp? So I thought of, and I was looking, I walked through the whole camp to find Mark Mankies, and he was still asleep. anyway, he didn't have, I just took Panados, so we didn't have anything else. And now I'm, you know now how you feel when you didn't sleep? It's like you're broken, just. So I go to the first sermon, and CS starts preaching, and one guy did pray for me at the camp, but I couldn't even stand and worship. I was doing this, and then I just went down to sit because the cramp was pulling me down. And all I remember is when the worship was finished and after Sia started preaching, I had no pain. It was gone. It disappeared completely. And that evening, Sia's again called up those that want healing. And then at that stage, there was a little bit, this residue of the pain, but here and also my back. I have I don't have anymore, honestly, but back pain, lower back pain. And I just felt that I must go forward and ask them to pray for me. And it wasn't even Sears, it was just somebody else praying. And they prayed for my stomach, they prayed for my back. And I also felt that I must pray for my daughter. She gets this, every now and then, this like asthma, almost coughing thing. And I just asked them to pray for her. And I can just testify that my back has not been sore since that day. My stomach pain is gone. And what I just realized after this, I've got a fresh revelation of God's healing power. He wants to heal. No, he didn't heal my father or his mother. But that's we know that that's something different, or God's got a different purpose for that. So I just feel we must practice that this morning. Now, I hope it's the right time, but if you are here this morning and you've got any pain in your body, and I'm talking to Christians, then I just want you to raise your hand. Is there anybody with some sort of pain anywhere? We're just going to pray right there for you. Is there anybody? Okay, now you see the hands there. Now the people next to them, you saw the hands. Just go and lay your hands on them and ask them what's wrong and pray for them. So let's do that quickly. But before we do that, I just also feel I must be obedient. I felt there's, I don't know if it's a woman, but somebody with a pain here in your chest, here on your right-hand side. If that's you, just make sure you put up your hand and let the people pray for you. So everybody that's got pain, quickly, raise your hand. Okay, now other Christians, go and pray for them.
Seems to be a door that you can't open. There always seems to be a mountain you can't climb, but you keep on reaching. You just keep on reaching when your destiny is out there in the distance, but the road ahead's a minefield in disguise, and you keep on.
Yes, Lord, we thank you that you are the healer this morning, Father. Father, I pray for each and every sickness that was prayed for here. We want to speak death over it, Father. Thank you. Like Peter Allen also shared, you're a powerful and an alive God. And we thank you that we have the opportunity to serve you. Father, and thank you that through our hands, miracles are going to be done, but you're just going to operate through us, Father. And thank you that our church will be a refuge for people with pain emotionally and physically. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Stu. I'm just going to go hands-free for a moment, if you excuse me.
Test 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. They only can count to 3 normally when they test, but I've learned to count to 10. Anyway, I'm going to give you the short version this morning of my sermon. Thank you guys for sharing so boldly. So I'm going to give you crumbs, and then I'm going to trust that God will multiply that so it becomes bread. I'll send you back home with bread. So I'm going to do a very unholy thing this morning. And I'm not going to read from the Bible. I'm actually going to tell a story. So forgive me for that. Tell the people at home, your pastor did a very unholy thing. Didn't even read from the Bible today in church. You know, you have to pray for me. I want to talk quickly on a subject called the right glasses. Die rechte brille. The right lenses. Coming back from the men's camp, you know, also the last few weeks, you know, I've been thinking of a couple of things. But anyway, I read through some books, and I wanted to discuss three men, of one of them is a lady actually in the Bible, that three, at all of them had three things in common. They were different, or exposed to different cultures, to different environment, to different moral system, values. Yet all three of them had a different response when they were exposed to that. You know, as children of God or as Jews, they were called and they were sent somewhere outside their comfort zone. And it's so interesting to see how they responded to that. You know, as children of God this morning, I want us just to start on the same level before we go further. I know you probably think, I don't know what you're talking about here. Well, let's just level it all down. And I want you to say that with me. Say, I am foreign to somebody out there. Or I'm strange to somebody out there. Okay. And you'll see why I mean that, or why I say that this morning. But you know when the Bible says in Philippians 3 verse 20 that when we come to Christ, that we have our citizenship in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven, but our feet are still here on earth. We have a problem with that. Some of us do not live like that. We live up there. In the, I don't want to call it the Harry Potter generation, but in a fantasy world. Oh, Lord. Now, you don't listen to my singing, but you know, we're so spiritual. And if people look at us, oh, what's he on about? He's so strange. He's so weird. These people from church, you know. These Christians, they're so weird. Oh, please, let me just run away from them. And I think people ran away from me often, you know. And hopefully not anymore, but... see you in the street. Oh, let me just, he's so spiritual. He's going to preach. Oh, you know, and I think sometimes we like a fish outside the water. We do not know how to build that bridge and how to relate and how to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, when just to keep quiet and when to say something. You know, but I found in the Bible these three characters, you know, and for the church of today as such, you know, not just referring to the church out there, but to us as well. We struggle to be relevant. Sometimes we overcompensate. We want to be so relevant. We want to connect so much with the world out there that we kind of water the gospel down. You know, it's just cool. Like the lights in the church. We don't wear, we don't have a certain dress code. You can come as you are. You know, all those kind of things is great. But sometimes we can water it down so much that we have no power anymore. The other side of the coin is get the conservative side. We called out. We're holy. You need to look like us, you know. You need to think like us. I mean, come on, if you're not in our box, there's something wrong. You're not holy. May God help you. Yeah, and I found in the Bible that when I look at these characters, I can identify with some of them there. By the way, at the men's camp, you know, I love it. People just coming to Christ. They don't have those things that they're not pretending. And I love it. I love it because I don't know, somewhere in the church we lost that. Sometimes we can pretend. We're very good at acting, like Peter Allen just testified. You know, sometimes we can tell people, I mean, look at my life. I mean, it's expected of me to be strong. It's expected of me to do all these things, and the pressure is upon us. But I was talking to a guy that, during a camp, and he's not a churchgoer. He just came there for the weekend, first time in many years, not been exposed. Now he's sharing with me. I asked him, I sense I had to go to him and just pray for him. And then he's thanking me and he says, listen, no, thanks for coming to pray with me. And over the weekend, the guys prayed for me. And he goes on and says, you know, I go to the churches around here and I see these things. You know, I do a lot of charity work. I don't go to church, but these effing churches, they never ask to pray for me. And I'm thinking, God, thank you, you know, not for the swear word, but just for the realness in this guy. Now, I'm not saying swear to be real. I'm just saying they don't pretend. He's just sharing his story. And I think, God, thank you. This moment, let's just pray, you know. And sometimes we lose that realness, that of just, you know, this is who I am. And I'm not here pretending who I try to be or whatever, but I'm a man just in much of a need of grace, and I'm just here to share with you what I've heard. So I look at Jonah's life, and you can all put the scripture references up there. You can read it during the week for yourself. Jonah's busy having church. He's a prophet of God. He's doing his normal thing. And Jonah likes his church. I mean, I like it. I can control the environment. The people look like I do. They see. I've tried to conform them into this box so that they can see the same and feel the same and do the same as we. I mean, God has called us to be a peculiar people. We must look alike. We must look like Christ. We must look alike. You don't try and be something else. Try and stay in my box. And then God does something. He said, Jonah, I know you have a church. I like that. But I want you to go to Nineveh. Can you just tell the people out there there's trouble there? They're going to die. And then Jonah says, no, God. Let me just pray again. I think I didn't hear the Lord there. And then Jonah goes on and I want confirmation. And the Lord talks to, the Lord silent. He spoke to him once. We know the story about Jonah. Jonah runs away. And then eventually he's on the Queen Elizabeth. And God sends his submarine. Boom. And Jonah's in the fish. Okay, they taught us in Sunday school whale, but it's not the whale. We don't know. The big submarine. I'll call that God's submarine. Anyway, and he spits him out. Now Jonah's on the ground there, stinking, seaweed around him. Have you seen when somebody's in water, when you're in water for three hours in the swimming pool, your skin becomes white and rumpled. Now he's there for 3 days. Imagine, his hair must have come out probably, or I don't know what Jonah looked like when he came there. He's stinking now, he's coming there and he's saying, repent, 40 days, then you'll die. And he goes off. I think about that for a moment. That's all we do on a Sunday. I'll just tell you, listen, 40 more days and God will kill you. You'll die. Amen. Let's pray together. That's the sermon. And the Bible says, in chapter 3, verse 10, I think, Jonah brings his sermon, and then they all repented. They say, sorry, God, we're sorry. And then the Bible says that God relented from what he wanted to do. He said, I realize they repented. I'm sorry. I'm not going to punish them anymore. Now you have to read that verse 4, I think, chapter 4, the first verse. When God decided not to punish them anymore, I like Jonah's response. Jonah's like, oh no, God, I knew that. I knew that you were a passionate God. I knew you're a God that would save them. Why did you do that? You would think that Jonah is a prophet, the man of God that would be happy. God, you just saved the city. But the opposite happens. Jonah is so angry at God. I knew God. I knew you were going to be a gracious God. And when I look at Jonah's life, I see the conservative church. You know, we just want to be aside here. We want to do our own thing, you know. We don't want to mix with the world. We are holy. And the Jonah in myself is the kind of exclusive Christian that struggles to see the bigger picture. Where we have church and everything revolves around us. Sometimes, you know, we mix around with churches. Sometimes when you talk to people. And I look at the way they, I'm not saying we do it right. I hear from God, or I try to sometimes to think about this. So God, how are we going to communicate this message to the person out there? I'm not talking to the church people, so that they it will be relevant, that they will not look at us. Where are you coming from, man? You're talking a different language. But anyway, now look, and I talk to churches or some people, and I think, would you really want to be there? You invite the people, or the way you approach people, you'll just get Christians there. You got to think outside the box. But anyway, Jonah is that type of Christian, that type of approach where everything revolves around ourselves. It's a self-pity time of pessimistic kind of guy. So negative. You know, I find, and if we have to, I wanted to do the illustrative sermon this morning. I just couldn't find the glasses in time. And if I had to describe Jonah this morning, I would put on these thick bottle glasses on there. that will zoom in. See, these people, God, I don't want anything. We're holy, God. What do you want? This, let's just talk about this sin. Let's just talk about this issue. I see God has appointed me to talk to you about this issue. This sin, I hope you feel bad about that. I hope the conviction is upon that and we hammer it in. And there are many such broken people out there. And sometimes we just, like Jonah, are unable to recognize age-appropriate behavior. You know what I mean with age-appropriate behavior? My little girl of 6 years old, she makes certain mistakes. There's certain things that's allowed for her age. But sometimes when we're so spiritual and so zoomed in on the wrong stuff and so narrow-minded, we start hammering on those issues and we ask them or we expect them to act like a 14-year-old. And why are you making these mistakes? And why are you still struggling with this sin? And why are you still smoking? Why are you still, oh, God must help you. And we have this approach where there's not grace. In actual fact, we have less grace for that person than God has got for that person. I tell you, that is a dangerous thing. People run away. They see us coming. Oh, no, no, no. Please, let him not. I'm going to feel so condemned. Have you ever been in people's, I want to say, presence? You feel so condemned. That's not from God. I tell you what, that is not from God. The Holy Spirit convicts. And sometimes we overcompensate so much. I just want him to get the point. I mean, let's just hammer it a little bit longer. And almost like I did at the men's camp the other day. You know, you can cross the barrier. Click. I want everybody to be there. And let's just give more scriptures. And let's just another word so that the person can get the idea. Other day, I was paging through my documents to the filing or something, and I got two pages that I forgot about. Somebody came to my house some time ago, I won't say how long, and brought me these pages, the words from the Lord. But the words were all the stuff that's wrong in the church. You know, this one, the person was even bold enough to put names to the accusations or whatever it might call it. This one is not spiritual enough. This one is in works, and this one is in... And I look at this, I think, God, sure, I've actually forgot about this thing. I did nothing about that anyway, because I knew, God, you're not operating like that, you know. Today, the person left the church a long time ago. We're just not spiritual enough. You can't see what we see. I mean, come on, you must fit in this box, and if you don't fit in this box, we have to make a plan to get you into that box. And Jonah, with his thick glasses, zoom in. And he's a narrow-minded, pessimistic. The church is never holy enough. We always, and I mean, I'm not saying we are holy enough at the moment. I'm just saying it's a type of negative Christian that can always, they wear you down. Oh, we just gotta, we never, we'll always work and we'll always strive towards that. But they bring you down. Then I look at Esther. And sorry, one more thing I want to say. I'm running out of time. I'm going to give you the short version, I promised you. When you read verse 6 of chapter 4, the Bible says, and if you go back to chapter 3, verse 10, we heard that when the city came to repentance, Jonah was upset. Jonah says to the Lord, why can't you do this? I knew. That's why I didn't want to go. I knew you would save them. I knew you would be gracious. And Jonah sits there in his self-pity, and it's just warm, almost like this east wind blowing, and he's sitting out there in the desert, and the next thing, he's just feeling sorry for himself, and he's going on this tangent. And then he's just moaning and complaining to God, and God sends him this, the Bible says he sends this tree or this plant, and next thing, Jonah's got shadow over his head. And what the Bible says in verse 6, he says, and Jonah was exceedingly happy. But a few verses earlier, Jonah was so angry at God, you saved the city. But oh God, I'm so glad you just blessed me. As long as you bless me, as long as I have shadow, as long as you take care of, I'm blessed. I mean, I can care about the rest. And the problem with the Jonah approach or the Jonah classes is that we become so self-centered sometimes by our own lives, our own comfort, nothing wrong with God blessing us, but that we lose sight of the bigger picture of why you are here this morning. We did that in the first service. We didn't do it here. Just taking each other's hand and to realize we've got a brother and sister. And there's need sometimes around them. There's a bigger picture. Then I find in Esther's life, and this week, I only saw it this week. I've never seen it like this. You can go and read it yourself in chapter 4. That with Esther, the story goes where she comes into the palace. You know a story about the aunt, uncle Mordecai. And how she's in the palace. She's been chosen as the queen, and now she's there. And then suddenly, this bad guy in the story. Is it Haman? How do you pronounce Haman? Haman decides, we've got to make a plan with these Jews. I don't like the Jews. So he convinces the king. The king makes a law, okay, and this day all the Jews will be killed. And Mordecai, that's a devout Jew, he hears this news, and then he sits at the in the front, in the gates of the city, and he's mourning. He's got clothes on, he's mourning. And then Esther, you're going to have a look yourself. Esther hears the story about Mordecai. That's just, actually the Bible says he made such a noise in the city there, crying, and he was just mourning. And Esther hears about this. And Esther goes, oh, please, please don't embarrass me. Just send him clothes so that he can look proper, that he wouldn't embarrass me. And she sends her servant to give him clothes and just to dress himself up and just to come to terms. I find in the Esther sometimes, out of my own life, oh, please don't go on tongues now, right now. My friends are here. Please just don't embarrass me now, right now. Please just behave yourself. Oh, please don't be so passionate. Please, come on. And the fear of man is sometimes there. Esther, she knew why she was there, but she kind of along the way, and you have to read it. I didn't see that like that before. That along the way, she kind of blended in. She was picked. Now she's in the palace. She enjoys this new life. But before she again realized what her purpose was, she was actually just a beauty queen. And the church of today has the same challenge, or we as the church this morning, that sometimes we can blend in so easily. And there's a word here for somebody this morning. That when Mordecai came back, when she sent him the clothes, Mordecai says to her, listen here, you got to remember why you're here. Let me just remind you again that you're here for a time and a purpose of the season as this. And the Esther in us sometimes, I'm not saying doing, she's not doing it necessarily, but she's prone to deny, can we have it up there, her redemptive purpose. And we need to ask ourselves this morning, why has God placed me for a time and season here in my family, my workplace? You see, it's easy just to blend in, just become part of the furniture, talk like the people talk, overcompensating to the other side. And then God has to wake us up, say, listen here. You got to remind why you're here. Remember why you're here. You're not just here to enjoy the palace and all the good food of the king. In Rapi Varon, op die goue pere, not in the golden way, but that's good. But remember why you're here. And the Esther in us sometimes have to be called, or this needs to be stirred off, so that we're not ashamed of those things. You see, the Esther in us can become so oversensitive that we're sometimes afraid to call a spade a spade. And I'm not saying that you should go out there and offend people left, right, and center. I ask in the first service as well, make sure from God before you go and give a word, before you go and pray, move according to the direction of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you have to open your mouth. And we need that discernment. We need that to know when. And the last one I want to look at is Daniel. Daniel's story is actually very beautiful. With both of the other two characters, you'll see Jonah is busy in his own little enclave. He's out there, and God asks him to go somewhere to mix with that culture, to approach the people. Esther, in a way, you'll find that there's still a kind of separateness with the Jewish community on the side and the Babylonians, or the people out there. But with Jonah, with Daniel, they get picked. Then they train them. They groom them. They select a handful of them. And they even rename them. There's a total immersion in the culture of those people. But look at Daniel's approach. If you can read the first few chapters of Daniel yourself, you'll see, and I'll sum it up this morning for you, that the fascinating thing about this story about Daniel is Daniel is able to discern which thing he can go with. You look at some things and say, well, no, I can go with that. That's fine. It wouldn't offend people. I see that didn't change, but there's certain things that's important to me. These are my values. But the way he approaches the people is so beautiful. The way he looks at the people and asks them, listen, I really respect what you're doing. I don't want to judge you. I love this food of yours. There's nothing wrong, but I just don't want to go there. Can you? And he's got such an humble approach when he approached these people, yet so much authority. And the Bible says God gave him favor. Daniel is a man that was respectful and loving, sensitive and aware of the culture, moral obstacles. And he was compassionate and inclusive. I want to say this morning that Daniel is not our perfect example, okay? We're not striving to become like Daniel, but we learn from Daniel certain things when we engage with people. When we're out there and people think, oh, you are so foreign to me, you strange Christian, please just don't talk to me. There's a way how we relate to people. And I don't think I have the recipe here this morning. I don't think it would be my place to tell you exactly how, and that's why we need to walk with God in order to know, because people are different out there. We can't give you a 10-point plan how you're going to reach your neighbor, because he's unique. You and me need to know exactly, we need the Holy Spirit in that. We need to know when not to put Jonah's glasses on, because we'll chase him away. And when not to care so lekker that you mean nothing, that you watered the gospel so much down, that you're like Esther for a moment, that you're blending in so much that somebody has to remind you, hey, remember why you're here. Hey, remember why I've placed you in this family, why I've opened this door at work for you. Sorry. See, Daniel, you know, when I look at Daniel's life, the authority he's got, there's such an humility combined with the authority when he ministers to the people. 2 Timothy 2 verse 24 and 25 says this. Listen to this. It's so beautiful. And I think this is personally for me just something I strive to. He says, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all. Able to teach. In other words, you need to know your Bible. You need to study. You need to patient. And here comes in age-appropriate behavior. Patient with people. Recognize when is it enough, or when can we still allow grace. And then he says, in humility correcting those who are in opposition. Not in arrogance. In humility correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth. Do you know, every time I approach people, every time that, I won't say every time, let's not lie here. But I keep it at the back of my mind. I say, God help me. That I wouldn't act in arrogance, that I will act in humility when I connect with people. That I am able to teach, that I am patient. Because sometimes I struggle to be patient. Pray for me. Sometimes I think, oh, come on, just get your act together. Come on, there's so much in you. And God needs to help us sometimes just to know when to be patient. When is it okay when a child of mine is still making the same silly mistake? Don't put Jonah's glasses on right now, because you'll mess it up. Or it's time that you take off Esther's glasses and get the act together. But as we're closing this morning, you know, as much as Daniel is a blessing, as much as Esther managed to pull her act together, they were all just human. They were all just people like you and me living out there, trying to connect, trying to build the bridge, trying to cross that gap. I find that one man succeeded. The Bible says he humbled himself. He humbled himself to come down to you and me. To build that bridge, because he saw something there. He realized, I need to come down. I need to cross that bridge. I'll come down from my heavenly throne. And then the Bible says, he sat with sinners. He ate with sinners. He ate with tax collectors. He ate with those that short-tempered. And those in the church, they said, oh, look at him. Look at him. Look at the people he's mixing with. He said he's a Christian. Look at the people he's hanging out with. But Jesus wasn't swayed by that. He knew who he was. He didn't forget about his redemptive purpose, where Esther maybe failed for a moment. He was there in the midst of them, doing what he's called to do. Sometimes, and I see that in John 4, he knew when to keep quiet about that issues. When he's sitting there with that lady there, with the five husbands. And he didn't go on and say, listen, let's just talk about the first one. You know that sin that happened there? You didn't repent of that. So that That must have been a cycle, you know, and that cycle will have to do an F3 on you. I know you didn't listen when last time I asked you to do the F3 and then you got married again, you know. Now you sit with the fourth one, you've gone, and now you're fifth one. I mean, seriously, God is just telling you something here. There's a big problem, you're a disobedient servant, you know, whatever it might be. Jesus just kept quiet because he knew she's already broken. She just needs somebody. And at other times, it's beautiful that Jesus didn't, or he spoke about the issues. The rich young man comes to him and he asks him, what can I do to follow you? And I go and sell everything you've got. And then you come. He's not afraid to talk about the issues. But he knew where he was. He knew what to say that moment. Sometimes they left his presence filled with joy. Sometimes they left his presence like the young man, rich young man, saddened, as the Bible said. Because he knew the price was just too great to pay. And in closing this morning, before we pray, I want to leave you with two questions. I know where I am. God spoke to me in one of these. That I want you to wrestle with that. I made it very simple, but I want you to wrestle with that as we build relationship, as we are there, as we let the kingdom come. To ask yourself this question and to ask God to show you. Because maybe you will need a friend to ask you to show you, because sometimes we don't see it ourselves. Here's the first question. Am I too foreign for people out there? Am I too strange? People see me, they think, oh, please. Just, we don't want a coffee with you right now. Just, I need a break. In other words, Jonah's approach, sometimes just that overcompensation, over-spiritual, super-spiritual, I want to say. Because people see through us. They see you, fake man. We try and pretend it. But the other side of the coin is, and the question I want to leave with you is there enough of God in your relationships? Do you create intentionally, purposefully, place for God in that relationship? Irrespective of whether it's your family, whether it's your friends, do you just have another bri upon bri upon bri, but you never trust God for that, like Peter Allen said, that move of the Holy Spirit? I'm not talking about being stupid here and foolish and overcompensating on that side either. If I may use Mark's example the other day, he just blessed me. He had a birthday, celebrating his birthday, and his birthday wishes that his friends would come with him to men's camp. Just that moment, just throw it in there. And then God did it. Hey? That's beautiful. That's what I'm talking about in our friendship, in our relationships. Because you and me, we're called. We've got a redemptive purpose. If you want to know that, not, maybe that's God was saying to you, remind you of your redemptive purpose wherever you are. Not to blend in, to like the part of the crowd, and God can't use you there. Or you're overcompensating on the other side and you're chasing everybody around your way. God will gather those people. May God give us a discernment this morning how to break the hearts, but also how to win the hearts for him. Amen. Let's close our eyes. Father, as we hear this morning, Lord, we recognize, Lord, that sometimes we fall short in so many ways, Lord, that, Lord, our hearts and our attention sometimes are good, Lord, and pure, but, Father, we just lack in the approach and the techniques and the skills. And, Lord, we pray this morning, Lord, that we will walk with you, Holy Spirit. We know, Lord, that, Lord, you know the hearts of men and women, the ones that you love us, the ones, as you said, Lord Jesus, the ones that you gave us, Lord. And, Father, I pray this morning, Lord, that you will give us a discernment, Lord, when not to put on those glasses, Lord, when to act, Lord, or not to act, Lord, but when to be stronger, Lord, when to do what you ask us to do, Lord, when not to say something, and Father, sometimes when we have to say something, Lord. And Lord, I pray this morning for each and every one, Lord, I pray that our relationships, Lord, that we will recognize and they will walk in that redemptive purpose of our relationships, Lord, where you've placed us. Father, may your kingdom come wherever we are. As Peter Allen again testified this morning, Lord, as we leave here this morning, Lord, my prayer is that your kingdom will come as we spread into this town, in this community, in this country, and wherever we are from this morning. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. The Lord bless you. Have a wonderful, enjoy the warm weather this afternoon. See you next Sunday. Next Sunday we have Yankor from Stellenbosch here visiting us. So please invite friend. Sorry? Yes, so he's our regional director, so you come and visit us, please bring a friend and come and share or listen to what they've got to share. Amen.